Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. And please check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon. Well, tonight I have a returning guest. On the line, I have Dr. Rosenthal. Creativity, the essence of life. Dr. Rosenthal is the former chief of plastic surgery at Bridgeport Hospital, was on the board of the Connecticut Society of Plastic Surgeons, and is a board-certified plastic surgeon who specializes in cosmetic surgery and procedures to rejuvenate the face. He has been interviewed on television and radio multiple times to discuss his art and his unique plastic surgery procedures. Dr. Rosenthal has been chosen to receive prestigious awards, which include America's Best Physicians, Who's Who in the World, given only to 3% of professionals, Albert Nelson Lifetime Achievement Award, Real Self Top Doctor, Top Plastic Surgeon, and Top Plastic Surgeon in Connecticut, Best of Fairfield Award, Trademark Top Doctors of America's Honors Edition Award. Whether working on the face or a canvas, Dr. Rosenthal notes that time is never a factor and one should never rush. Rather, balance, harmony, and beauty are the integral components of the final result. Known for his artistry in and out of the office, he combines his medical expertise along with his visual imagery to create that which others only dream about. Dr. Rosenthal's private practice is in Fairfield, New York, and South Carolina. His office serves a significant portion of Connecticut and New York, with patients traveling from across the United States and Europe to seek his expertise in facial rejuvenation. Dr. Rosenthal has exhibited his paintings, photography, poetry, children books, and sculptures in stone, metal, and wood in France, Connecticut, and New York, with his most recent exhibits showcasing 22 of his paintings at the Discovery Museum in Connecticut. Dr. Rosenthal, welcome back to the Insight into Healing. I'm so happy to have you back with us this evening.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Yes, and after reading your bio and your credentials, it's so impressive how you've been able to combine plastic surgery but also with art. How has that been with you since last time we spoke?
Well, before we get on that, I want to send a big thank you to all the healthcare providers that are sacrificing such a great part of humanity to help all those sick individuals in the hospitals and evaluate them, whether it's the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, everyone that's been running around helping not only our country, but around the world, this devastating pandemic. And I encourage everyone to wash their hands, have a good attitude, be kind to your neighbor and to yourselves, and try not to listen to all the media hype that tells you falsehoods. This will take us a long time to get out of. We will emerge. The United States has always done that in combat, and this is combat, and we will emerge stronger. And I encourage everyone to have a good attitude. Thank you for that great introduction. Science have held with me throughout my entire career. And that is one of the reasons why I chose the pursuit of plastic surgery, because I could create and design. And whenever I work on a face or when I was doing more body work, now I basically specialize in neck and facial work, it is art and sculpting. And that's why in your introduction, when you quoted that I never rush, I never do. I never rush through my paintings or sculpting or poetry. And it's all part and parcel of what I do.
Yes, yes. And I think it's so important, as you say, is how you combine both, but also being able to really stay and focus and be able to look at both, whether in surgery or with your artwork, seeing the final product, seeing the beauty of it, and being able to really visualize what you are looking for and also what your patients are looking for.
I was blessed with the visual acuity to see things in three dimensions immediately. And actually, I amaze myself when certain patients will come in and I'll say to them, after having not seen them in a few months, that they have a new hairstyle, a new pair of glasses, and I have no idea how I even do that. But when I look at a face, I see things in very tiny dimensions, millimeters, immediately, and I run it through my head, and I can do your surgery or do your threads or fillers instantaneously. It just takes a long time now to discuss what I'm going to do. But yes, I'm a very visual person, but you have to take the science. You have to still keep up with everything. That's why I review textbooks for the whole country for plastic surgery. I'm constantly seeing what's happening not only in this country but around the world to keep up on different techniques. And then I alter them to fit my own patients and their needs. I change the techniques and balance it with my vision and what I can do for them.
How does someone begin this process if they're interested in having some work done on themselves? What would you recommend? Where do they begin?
The beginning is always having the right concept to understand what they want for themselves and looking in the mirror and deciding what really bothers them. That's the first key, having realistic expectations, understanding basically what they're trying to achieve. If they're trying to look like they're 15 or 20 years old, again, that's unrealistic. And in fact, those 15, 20-year-olds aren't very mature or good-looking. So they have to, number one, look at themselves and decide what they want. And there's a difference between the male brain and the female brain. I hope I'm not getting letters about that, but we are different. Our hormones are different and how we view things and we conceptualize different. Males will look at things as a big overall picture, so they'll look at a painting and look at the painting and say, I like the painting. Females will often look at the painting and say, oh, I like that little bit over there, I like the colors, so they're more discerning. So females often, they'll say, I don't like this eyebrow or this cheek or this line, and that's a good start point. The next thing is to then find a plastic surgeon that can meet your needs, and we all have websites. Often the websites are written by a third party and not the actual physician, and some of the photographs are taken to, most of them are pretty good, and most of them have basic good information. My website is about 150 pages, and I wrote it myself. I really wanted to give the basic information, honest information, to my post photographs that were really showing representation of what I can do. And then look at the and after. All patients should look at befores and afters of where they're going to and say whether they like it or they don't. Now, they're never going to look like these before and after photos because each face is unique, just like each one is very different. And you're supposed to maintain the identity, and that's the key to really good plastic cosmetic surgery of the face, to not change your identity but just smooth, contour, rejuvenate. So that's the beginning. Look at the website. And then the critical part is going for a consultation. Just speak with the surgeon, the doctor, the questions that bothers you or what you wish to achieve, and then having a rapport with that physician in terms of that doctor is communicating well with you. If that person standing there not answering your questions or being bothered by your questions, well, that's not a good person to be with. On the other hand, yeah, if you're asking questions that are unrealistic, that's also not good. So that starting the consultation is really critical.
And how do you, as a professional, navigate through if a patient has unrealistic perceptions or goals? And also, as a patient, because so many times, especially the field of psychotherapy that I work in, so many times people have different perceptions of themselves, either perceived through history, through trauma or abuse or obsessions, negative thoughts, anxiety. So what they, how they see themselves is really not realistic to what type of work can be done, and also having to wanting to change something, as you said, their identity. How do you navigate as a professional if you have a patient like that come into your office?
Question. It takes a great deal of experience and time with my patients. I spend upwards of an hour, sometimes longer, when I'm discerning what they want and what I can actually do for them. And it's sort of ironic that when I was in medical school, one of my training was with a psychiatrist. And after that rotation, the psychiatrist head of the department said to me, "Oh, you make a good psychiatrist. I think you should do this." And I said, "No, I think I'm going to be a surgeon." But having said that, part of what I do, and a good part of what I do, is to analyze what the patient is really trying to tell me I can give them. So there is a syndrome called body dysmorphic syndrome, and that is something that is very difficult with patients come in. They have a misrepresentation of their own body image. And no matter what you do for them or how well you make them look, they will never achieve it. Now, most patients, fortunately, don't have. But some come in with photographs of other people, actors. They want to look through noses that they had in the past. And you can never bring this back. You can only deal with the soft tissues and the bone structure that you have now because of our aging. And so having said that, a good part of the consultation analysis is not only physically of what I can do for them, but really listening closely to what they're saying and what they're requesting. We both are on the same page, and if we both do well, then those are the patients for me, and I'm good for them. And I tell the patients clearly, there's many doctors out there. You have to get along with me. I have to get along with you, and we have to communicate well, and that's critical for both of us.
Yes, yes. And I think it is so important that you have both of the background, because I think so many times, so much now going on is being able to understand also the emotional part of it, the mental health part of it, and it sounds like you really are able to address that. What type of procedures are common in your practice? What do you see really coming forward?
Well, over the past years, the practice of plastic surgery, specifically cosmetic surgery of the face, has been really revolutionized. Various fillers and threads and techniques that we have developed and I have developed to rejuvenate and refresh our patients. So in the past, all we had was surgery. Someone came in and they had some loose skin of the face and neck, and the only thing you could offer them was a facelift. They had collagen in the past, which I never thought was a very good product. It didn't last long and had to have a skin test before. Over the years, different products have come out, hyaluronic acid products. Hyaluronic acid is a product that's found in our skin, and it actually holds water in our skin, and as we age, we lose a lot of that product. There's other products called Radius, which is a calcium-based product, and that lifts and holds and supports, so think of it as a structural pillar, and that replaces some of the bone loss. Although it's placed the bone, it lifts and supports. And then there are various threads that have come out that have really been very effective in lifting loose skin and stimulating your own native collagen. So the combination of using these products have made a vast difference in what we can do in the office versus just offer surgery.
Yes. And also, what would you say to someone to begin with one of these procedures if someone was, this was their first time even thinking of having any work done, and they were a little reluctant and not sure where to begin? How would you work with them? What would you recommend?
When they come and see me, we discuss the various options and having various fillers used and different threads, for also surgery. I discuss what is optimal for the patient. I listen to their needs and what they want. So if they're a busy business school and they can't take off a few weeks for a facelift, then we discuss various filter threads that a few days you can be back at work and a touch of makeup looking pretty good. So we need to discern, number one, their issue is, what they're trying to achieve, and then what I can do for them realistically and how I can lift them. I like to do things in stages. I don't overwhelm them with procedures. Even when I do fillers of the face and I sandwich different procedures, a deeper product radiant, first lift and contour, I draw a topographical map on your face. I actually inject in those areas various fat pads that we've lost in the over time, and then I mold it with my hand. I sit you back up, inject you with a different layer on top. I don't like to overdo the person. I like to get you half of the way contoured, and then bring you back in a week or two when the swelling comes down. Actually, the swelling is down in about 24, 36 hours, but I like to little. And then look at you, evaluate the face again, and balance it. Now, when you look at a face, there's never simp to both sides of the face. They did a study with the president of the United States. They took both right sides, and they put it together like the people anymore. And so our face, very delicate variances between the right and left side, and we're supposed to maintain that. But my job is which side of the cheekbone is high, which side is lower, which side is emptier or concave, and to try to create harmony and balance between these, and that's what I try to do.
Yes. Now, you also are a firm believer and incorporate in your practice the importance of once you're out of the office as a patient and also as a professional to utilize diet, exercise, healthy living. How do you find that impacts the work that you do for yourself and also your patients?
Well, I've always said in my office, I won't work on cigarette smokers. They have to stop smoking anywhere between 6 months and a year, and sometimes even longer for surgery. For threads and fillers, it can be a shorter time. But cigarette smoke inhibits the blood flow throughout the whole body and carries carbon monoxide. So each cigarette lasts 12 hours, and its inability for blood flow to go to the skin, it shrinks down all the vessels, and it carries 40 toxins. So one of the things I really make clear is that the patient cannot be a smoker because it inhibits healing. The other thing that I do for myself, and I treat patients like I tell everyone, if you're going to be my patient, you're going to be like a family member. I'm going to treat you the same as I would treat my family. Everyone gets, if I touch you, you get the same care, whether you're wealthy or poor, a millionaire or a pauper. It doesn't matter to me. I want it all to be good. And part of that is healthy lifestyle. You have to eat well. You have to learn to eat less snack foods. You have to exercise every day. Even if it's 5 or 10 minutes of walking or getting on a small bike and doing some stationary bike riding, there's many things that we can do without going to health clubs. And so that increases blood flow. It also increases the endorphins in the brain. It increases oxygen. It makes you just a healthier body. The skin looks better. And if the skin is better and the underlying tissues are better, then you have so much more to work with, and the quality and the end results are that much better. So lifestyle is critical. And then what you can do with your lifestyle and what I add to it makes you look more attractive. You know, people have always said to me, do you make people beautiful? And I'm very clear, I make no one beautiful. Beauty comes from within. Beauty is something that's kindness and warmth, compassion. That's an inward part. I can only make you more attractive. But if you're beautiful within, and I add something to your external side, you look so much better. I mean, look at people that walk around smiling. They always look so much better or happier than someone who walks around frowning. So that's what I try to do.
Yes. And also, on the side of your medical practice, as I was reading your bio, you also have a lot of exhibits for your paintings and your photography, poetry, children's books, and sculptures. How do you find the time to do all of that? And how can my listeners find or look up any of your work?
Well, on my website, artofplastery.com, some of my paintings, I do poetry and a lot. I'm always putting something on my Facebook or my Instagram at Jeffrey Rosenthal, where someone can find something, and I post poetry and small videos. And yesterday I actually posted a little meditation for patients and my friends to look at with a fire going behind it in my fireplace. So I'm always trying to do that. As for my art exhibits, I do have them intermittently. Right now I have about 30, 40 of my paintings sitting upstairs in my loft, and my home is full of them, of my sculpting and art, as well as my office. So in my office, you will see a lot of my art sconces that I've designed and paintings and sculptures. I'm in the process of putting together a poetry book. I have about 150 poems and 4 or 5 children's books that I've been working on. So they will be out someday. And in the meantime, you can go to my Facebook or my website and see some of them as well.
Yes, and I think it's amazing how you incorporate the mind, body, soul in all of your practices, and also the meditation video that you had sent that I had watched the other day. And I think it's so important for anyone to feed themselves emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, to keep that balance, to keep that harmony, especially during, you know, tough times of that what we're going through right now with the pandemic. But I think also for everyday life, for your own well-being, but then also if to keep yourself healthy, and also for wanting to do different types of procedures, it's so important to work on your health and your status, mental health status, before you have any of these procedures done, so you can be the best self while doing them and then after.
I agree. The mind and the body are intimately intertwined. And we do know that if the body hurts, the mind doesn't do well. And likewise, if you're stressed, you have extra body aches and pains. So the object to have a lifelong endeavor to keep both of them as well balanced as we can. Unfortunately, we are human. We are fragile. We are very delicate. And because of this, we can't always control what we wish to do. So what you do then is find a friend to speak with, or a therapist if you need to have some more counseling. And in between, you can learn some meditation. Actually, I was a few weeks ago given my own mantra. And I find that after meditating that, I feel much better breathing and thinking and trying to clear my mind. When I swim, and I try to swim, we're not on a shutdown like we are now, 4 or 5 days, that is a moving meditation. So if you can get into a form of exercise that allows you to free the mind and free you from your daily thoughts for a period of time, even if it's for 15 or 20 minutes, that will be also helpful. I also find that one of the things that frees my mind and makes me feel the best is laughter. Laughter, smiling, joking, that's so important to have a positive attitude. Again, we're human. Things happen. We have life and death issues that make us sad. And I'm not saying not to have that or experience that. But we have to work our way through it, find a path that makes us happier. And hopefully you have friends and family that will support. And that's critical in all times, especially now.
Yes. Who do you, or where do you find your inspiration for all of the work that you do?
You know, I find it from nature, just looking at trees or water and the beauty of life and how flowers just bloom. I have 5 or 6 roses, rose plants outside my home that I look at, and when they're blooming, every morning I will walk out and look at them and actually talk to them and say how beautiful they are. They're all different variegated colors. And just the fact that they can bloom every year and come back and show the beauty of life inspired to do things. And as I said, I review textbooks, and I'm always looking and searching for new techniques and new endeavors to improve my faith. We should perhaps touch upon threads that we're using, which are really incredible. And those threads and lifting things, and I get a lot from nature and just observation. I like to observe life.
Yes, and I think what's so incredible about you is how you have so many different depths, areas of depth, which brings more to yourself as a plastic surgeon, and I think also shows different layers, which is so important because I think so many times people might think of plastic surgery as superficial, but it really is not. It's something much deeper, and also for people who are interested in it, it's something for their soul, for their mind, and also for their body, and it's an important decision to make to move forward for.
It is a critical decision. It shouldn't be made haphazardly. One asks about it. Often patients will think about the surgical part of it for 6 months to a year. Threads and fillers, they may go in sooner than that. But they really should think about it versus just running into these things. Yes, it's very important. Analyze what you want so that you have the best results and you're happy with it.
If anyone listening wanted to get more detail, because I know it sometimes can be so overwhelming, all the different procedures, and really have that time to explore with you what would be necessary for them or what these different procedures look like, again, where could they find this information?
Well, they can look up. The companies have websites. One of the threads we're using is called the Silhouette InstaLift. That's a thread with cones on it that is placed through sticks and can lift up the mid-face, the jawline, the neck. Another company is called MintLift, which are threads that are made out of sugar, and those are also placed through little pin sticks to lift up various areas of the face, neck, and jawline and contour them. So you can go on their websites. The big companies, Juvederm, which is Allergan, they will publish their different products. But again, my website, Art of Plastic Surgery, has a lot about these products. And on my fucking Instagram, I'm always showing before and after photos my own patients and showing illustrations of some surgical procedures in my own operating room under local, where I'm doing threads or fillers and showing the immediate results so that they have an idea of what one can look at. So very various as they can find ideas. I just, again, you have to be very discerning what you're getting information from and if it's sick. And that's also, we're going for a consultation and looking at some before and after photos with the surgeon and having them discuss what's ideal for you as an individual is important, because to maintain your individuality and your personal identity is critical to having a great face appearance. And I was just speaking with a friend this morning who I did a facelift on a number of months ago, and she's sequestered with another friend, and her friend turns to her and says, "Wow, you look so natural and so beautiful." And that's key. You have to look natural and refreshed and not look like something was done.
Yes, yes. Well, we're at the end of the show. What are some last final words you would like to leave with my listeners?
Well, I want to leave them all with a word of encouragement that we will get through this a terrible time in our lives, and it will endure humanity probably for as long as we know it, but perhaps it will alter it in a nicer way when your neighbors and yourself are talking and smiling more. Perhaps we will be cleaner and wash more and produce less disease because of that. We'll be nicer to individuals and kinder, and we'll work through all of this and then at the end become much stronger and more powerful as a world. And that will be critical for all of us to achieve.
Yes, thank you. And again, thank you so much for being on the show again. It was just a pleasure to have you on.
No, it's always my pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Everyone, stay strong and always have a good night. And God bless.